today officially, because of the Easter holidays, Easter Sunday, which is next Sunday, they often put the week before as Palm Sunday, and all the events that took place with that scenario. Would you take your Bibles and let's make our declaration before Him? Say, this is life. I will honor Him, and I will praise Him, and thank Him for His word. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In Mark chapter 11, there we can read the story of when Jesus came in to Jerusalem riding a colt. Now, you can find that story, and I hate to say story, or you can find that event in every gospel as far as the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every one of them. Every one of them has the story of that event. In the late 1700s, as we get back to that, in the late 1700s, there was a preacher named Augustus Toplady. He was in the hills of England, and he was traveling along the gorge when he was caught in a storm. He found shelter in a gap in the gorge. Now, here this man had gone to preach in a nearby city. And as he was coming back, and you know, in those times, you know, they either walked to get to places, they had their horses or wagons or whatever, that kind of traveling. And here he was traveling back to his home, and all of a sudden there was this great thunderstorm. Well, you know what? If you're just riding on a horse, or if you're just walking, or even if you're in a covered wagon or not, when a huge storm comes, it will cause some problems. You know, we may say, well, what kind of problems? Well, you know, if you're driving a vehicle, and I know we've probably all been in that scenario, where it's raining so hard that your windshield wipers can't keep up with the amount of rain that is coming down, and you have to pull over because you really can't see, and it becomes very unsafe. Well, here this man had traveled to a nearby village to present the gospel. And as he's coming back, there's such a thunderstorm that rolls up that he says, I need to take refuge somewheres. And so he finds a place in the hills or the mountain areas. It was called, there was a little place that he could go into that was open in the mountain that was of rock. And he could hide himself in there till it was over with and stay dry. And as he was in there, the Spirit of the Lord started to move upon him. And he started to write some words on the paper and stuff that he had. You know, sometimes God will allow thunderstorms to rise up in our own personal lives to get our attention so we'll know who God is. And that he can conquer anything and everything that rises up in our lives. And as he's pinning down the words, he writes these words. And I know you're going to know it. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy ravine side which flowed be of sin the double cure. cleanse me from its guilt and power. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You might say, well, Pastor, why did you bring up that song? Because I've been singing it. That's why. Just singing. And you might say, well, look, and there's so many verses to it. But Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. When we hide ourselves in the rock of ages, there isn't anything that old Slewfoot can do to us. And there isn't anything that the world can do to us as we hide ourselves in thee. Because you see, he is the great protector. He is the God that protects his people. He is the God that protects his people. In Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 1, it says this, and we're going to read to probably verse 10 or 11. It says this, and when they came near to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. If you're reading the Expositor's Bible, it says they think from tradition that it may have been the two would be Peter and John, but they're not 100%. That's who they think it may be. And said unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say to you, why do you this? Say you that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them who stood there said unto him, what are you doing, loosening the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down the branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they who went before and they who followed cried, saying, Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Here we see a remarkable situation that happened. But don't we know always when Jesus is involved or our God is involved in something, it's always remarkable. Always. Remarkable things happen when Jesus gets involved in anything. If we obey the Spirit of the Lord and he is involved in it and moving, remarkable things happen in the kingdom of God. Here we see on this first Palm Sunday, the people. Now you have to understand, Palm Sunday, which is a Sunday, okay, they were doing all of these things that we're going to talk about. But we also have to remember, as Palm Sunday was happening, Friday was coming. Where they praised him and they honored him, the time was coming for him to be crucified that Friday. But also the next Sunday was coming also, which was no doubt resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And it says this, that the people were honoring Jesus verbally. The crowds who went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And really, when they were saying Hosanna in the highest, it means that he was the highest one. Consequently, the only one who could save them. So here they were. Here they were. Jesus told them, go and get that coat that was tied up. And when they ask you, when you come to get them, if they ask you who needs this, we just tell them the Savior needs it. And when they went to get it, they asked him. And they said, the Savior needs it. Oh, okay, take it. How willingly they were to give of that coat so that Jesus could ride on it. But also we need to remember one thing is this. Who takes a coat that has never been ridden and jumps on it? We've all seen the shows, huh? The Western shows and some Indians and, you know, we've all seen that where they take, you know, these young animals, horses, and they try to break them in so that someone could ride that horse, to ride him or her, the colt or the filly, either one or whatever, to ride them so that they could ride that horse to certain destinations. They don't just jump on it. They do certain things with it. I've seen some where they've taken them in water, you know, and tried to get them to be submissive to the owner or to the rider. But here we see the story of something that is amazing, people. Our Lord, your Lord, did something amazing. He told them to go get it. And when they brought him they brought the young colt, which was a male horse, which was about no less than 2 years of age, but no more than 4 years of age. So in that range of age, this horse was. That means he had strength. There was power in this horse. You know, there was strength. There was power in it. That when they brought this horse to him, the colt, that they took their garments and they put like a saddle basically on it. It may not have been a saddle what we see today, but they put coverings of some kind upon this colt. And Jesus got on it. And it's an amazing thing. What happened? That young horse knew who his king was. And that horse knew he better be submissive to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Things happen when we are submissive to God's will and what he wants to do. The power of God moves. That's why we need the power and the presence of God upon our lives, in our hearts, in our lives, in us, so we can be submissive to the will of the Father. The will of the Father was for that colt, that young horse, to ride the Son of God into Jerusalem. And that's another story. That was the will of the Father. And he did the will of the Father, just carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 9, if you would. Zechariah chapter 9. It's an amazing thing that we not only see what happened in the four synoptic gospels, documented down, and they all have their little play on it because, you know, you take four different people looking at an accident, and they're going to have a lot of things in common, but they're going to have some things that are not the same. And not because one didn't say the truth, they just what they saw from their perspective. And so that's why it's an amazing thing when you read something in Matthew and you know it's in Mark, Luke, and John. Read those two. Read those. So you get the full picture of what's going on and what God is doing in that area. It says this in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, here we see an amazing thing. He goes, gets the colt, and the mother comes with him. And Jesus sits on him. No one of us can do the will of the Father unless the Spirit of God is in us, dominating us. You might say, what do you mean? The Spirit of the living God wants to dominate every aspect of our lives. The Spirit of God wants to dominate. What do you mean by dominate? That means control. You might say, well, isn't that a cult? C-U-L-T? No, that's not a cult. That's submitting yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are children of the living God. What child, and I know we've all seen this, especially lately, Lord God Almighty. Have you ever been somewhere and you see a child that just will not obey its parents? You know, you're at Walmart, you're at some place, and you know, you hear this screech of a loud noise, and you know it's a child, and man, the father and the mother are about to kill this child, and this child's about to cry to all bloody murder. You know, it's just horrible. And that child is just rebelling against the authority of his parents. He probably saw, he or she, probably saw something he wanted or she wanted, and the parents said no. And he wants it. And he expects everything he says or wants that he should get it right away. And the parents know that he has one or two already at home, so he doesn't need it or he doesn't deserve it. And so he rebels against the parents. But the parents are the ones that dominate over this child. And the child doesn't like it. So we need to, what are we to be? We are to be submissive children unto our God. You might say, I didn't say perfect. No. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference between perfect, and we never will be. You might say, well, the scripture says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Read that, get that perfect in you, and go and look it up. It means mature. Be ye mature like I am mature in Christ. That doesn't mean perfect like we're thinking perfect. That perfect, we think no mistakes. But God didn't say we'd be perfect. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die upon that cross, because he knew we need the blood of our Savior to save our souls and to help us to overcome things in our hearts and in our lives that we need to overcome. But he says, be mature in Christ. And the only way we can be mature in Christ is to take the Word of God, number one, and read it. And apply it to our lives. Put it in our hearts. And just pray and say, Lord, do a work in me. And letting the Spirit of God do a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. And changing us. Because you know what? There are some stinking attitudes in myself. I can't say for y'all because I don't know. But every guy. I don't live at your house. You know, I'm your pastor. I'm just saying we can go on and we can conquer this land for the kingdom of God. But God's Holy Spirit, it's his job to clean you up. It's not my job. My job is to preach the gospel, to preach the uncompromising word of God, to know that God is moving, and to rely upon the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and in my life. And letting him take things out of you that need to be taken out of you, and you allowing the Spirit of God to move in you so you can become mature in Christ. So God can take authority. So God can move at will within you. Letting him. You might say, Pastor, there are things in my heart and life that I am struggling with. And I know that. I know it. But as long as you fight, you're going to struggle. As long as you fight against that thing, you're going to struggle. But the only way to have victory is putting your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God will come inside of you and will strengthen you and will lead you. Now, you might say, am I going to be perfect right away? No. It may take time to overcome those things that need to be overcome in your life and in my life. But in the process of time, God can do it. In the process of time, God can do it. Because he is a great God, Jehovah. He sat upon that animal. If you or I would have sat upon that animal, that thing would have bucked us off so quick. Probably would have ended up in the hospital. But that's okay. But the King of Kings sat on it. And the amazing thing is, as he sat on it and started to ride into Jerusalem, remember the feast of Passover was taking place. The first fruits Passover was taking place, those two, and another one, the feast of unleavened bread at that time was taking place. So as he was going into Jerusalem, we don't know for sure what span of mileage that was from the time he got onto that colt and rode into Jerusalem. We don't know for sure. But it must have been a good span of mileage there, because the people in Jerusalem and throughout that area, there was a lot of people there. Because of the feast that was taking place, the Passover, the unleavened bread feast, and the first fruits feast at that time, that there were probably literally thousands of visitors that had come to Jerusalem and were all over that place because they had to come and do certain things. And they see the King of Kings coming around, riding. And the mother of the colt behind him with no one riding it. You might say, well, why? Most believe the implication is it represented Israel. And it was empty with no one riding it because they wouldn't submit to God. What a sad state, huh? But as Jesus rode in, they started to say certain things, as I said earlier. Son of David, Son of David, have mercy upon us. Son of David, have mercy upon us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. And as he's coming in, these are not the religious people. These are just the average Joes out there. They started to take their garments off. And you know, not their shirts or pants, you know, whatever. Not, I mean, just the outer garments that they wore. Even some of their headdress thing. And they just started to put it down. Where the the colt would walk. I wonder who was the first person to do it. You know, there's always a chain reaction to things. I wonder how far Jesus rode on that donkey. Colt, because there's a difference. A donkey, friend of mine, I'm not going to tell you what I think of the difference, but a colt, a young horse, strength and power. But I wonder, from the time Jesus got on it to the time the first person put that cloth on the dirt road. And I wonder how many times did the Spirit of God talk to how many people to do it and they didn't do it. Remember, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's all in the plan of God. They were going to honor him today, but he would die Friday and he would rise again Sunday. How many people did the Spirit of the Lord talk to and say, put your garment down. Take off what you own and give it to me. Take off what you think you have and give it to me. That means they were laying down everything they had, basically, that they owned, that they had. Because you have to remember, as they laid it down, all kind of things were on that road. It's not like the roads we have today that are basically clean. You know, I mean, they're swept and clean. I mean, these were dirt roads with all kind of animals that were on it and people. So there was all kinds of things on that road. But can you imagine how many people the Spirit of God talked to? Then finally someone obeyed. And when that one person obeyed, there was a chain reaction to what God wanted to do. You see, that's why when the Spirit of the living God speaks to you something, you need to do it, because there will be a chain reaction to the Spirit of God flowing in other people's lives. And what the devil wants is to hold you back and stop you. Because if he can hold you back and stop you from obeying what God says for you to do, it will stop what the Spirit of God wants to do in other people's lives. And that first person probably saw Jesus coming down, and they were just praising him and honoring him and giving him the praise that he so deserves. Hosanna to the King, Son of David, to the God on high, praising him and honoring him. You can look in Psalms. It even says about that. Praise God. And as that first, they heard this, the first, that other person was maybe way down the road and said, I need to give something to my King. He's given his all. I need to give him something. And maybe they checked their pockets. Maybe they didn't have any money. Maybe they didn't have a watch on or a ring. Who knows? I don't know. But that first person finally said, I know what I have and what I can give. And they took off that outer garment. And they just laid it down. And I'm sure they stood by it, saying, I want the King of Kings to walk on it. You might say, it was just that colt. Yes, I know. But the King of Kings was on top of it. And that means that that colt was submissive to the will of the Father. You might think of yourself, well, I'm just little old nothing me. I'm here, I live here. And but let me tell you, when we get on that colt of our Lord and our Savior, It means a whole world to him. And it changes the aspect of all things in our hearts and in our lives. Don't ever look at yourself as a little old whatever, a little young whatever, or no, no, no. No, 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 no. With God, with God, with God, he changes the aspect of his people. And he looks at us as a redeemed people, full of the Holy Ghost, ready to preach the gospel, ready to tell people about him, ready to flow out of the throne room of heaven, the Spirit of the living God. And that cult came and took that one step on that garment. And can you imagine? It was a man or a woman. I don't know. Whoever it was. And they looked. And I know I can't document this because it doesn't say. But I bet you this might have happened when that first hoof type thing got on that garment. Jesus might have said, "Poop," and he might have turned to that one and looked at them. And we know it says the eyes are the what? Windows to the soul. And I'm sure he did the approval. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? When we do what God says, the approval of our God. Can you imagine? That might have been hard for them. That might have been the only good garment they had. But let me tell you, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords gets on that thing, it changes things in him and it changes things in us. What the power of God can do. And after that, that other person down the line said, "Look what they did. My God. I got to give the same homage to my God because of who he is. He is our king." And look, they were ready to put him on the throne in Jerusalem. You might say, well, why didn't they do it? Because of the religious leaders in Jerusalem that crucified him a week later. Because they saw that their strength and their power was coming out of them. And they thought that Jesus would take the throne. And they did everything possible to kill him. But they didn't realize, Slewfoot didn't realize, it was all in God's plan for him to die upon the cross so that we could be set free from sin and death. And we can enter in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his throne room. And the cult came and they just started throwing down their garments, throwing down their garments. And let me tell you, when you obey God, it's like a chain reaction. My God, people are saying, "Oh my God, she obeyed God. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. He obeyed God. Yes, he did. Oh my God, when God speaks to me, I'm going to obey." But let me tell you this. The same chain reaction can happen in disobedience. When God speaks and we disobey, it's a chain reaction of somebody else disobeying. And the devil knows it. The devil knows it. The devil knows it. And so what we got to do is obey God. Obey his spirit. Obey what he wants you to do. Obey what God has put in your heart. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give God the honor that he so deserves from him, from his people. Let him dominate. Let him dominate your life. Romans 12:1, as I read this last scripture. Romans 12:1. Just about a bar note to you. In the back of your bulletin, these are all the scriptures that I may get to during the sermon or not. So just to let you know, people, especially people that take notes, it's all on the back, basically, okay? So that helps you helps you. Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is saying this, people, as these people lay down their garments so the colt could ride, walk on it, we are to present our bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. That's a hard scripture. But Lord, help us. That means we're saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, now this is a tough one. It's not my money anymore. But God, it's your money. That's a tough one, huh? Because we think God's going to tell us to give everything. And we get scared. But God is just saying, give me all your heart. But he does not want anything to entangle us or to keep us entangled at all. God's saying, give me all your possessions, everything. Give me your house. Give me your land. Give me all your DVDs. Give me all your CDs. Give me all your cattle. Give me all your savings. And I'm just naming stuff. Give me all your children. Give me all your grandchildren. I didn't see y'all nod when I said homes and stuff. That's okay. That's just implication. He wants it. He didn't say you had to give it to the church, okay? I want to make that clear. That's not, he does not want anything to have our heart except him. See, he's looking for a people that will become a living sacrifice unto him. See, in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices in part of the New, where they would sacrifice animals. All kinds of animals. He's saying, my people need to be a living sacrifice unto me. Living. That means we're alive in Christ. But our own will is not us. It's his will. That we do what the Father says. We listen to the voice of the shepherd. And he leads us and guides us. That his will is being done in us and through us. In us and through us. So as we celebrate Palm Sunday, they put those garments, and it's an amazing thing. For some reason, some people maybe didn't have garments that they could put. God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. And they saw something. One person saw a tree, palm trees. And he broke a branch off, cut it, some branches, and came because he didn't have anything else to give that we know of, and put that down. And somebody else said, well, I don't have anything either, but I saw what this guy did, and I'll do that. And they went and they cut another branch off, and they brought it and laid it before the colt that was riding Jesus. See, one man's obedience or one woman's obedience will lead to the obedience of other godly people. It's a chain reaction. That happens. We got to do what God says and accomplish his will upon the earth. Because we know this, and I'm about to close. He's coming. The King of Kings is coming. And there's a lot of work to be done. What work are you talking about? Winning souls for the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you please stand? Thank you. Praise God, praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing in us and through us, Lord. As every head is bowed, just for a minute, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him into your heart and life? Do you know him? If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to receive him as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand so I can pray with you? Amen. 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 Praise God. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this place. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every one of us this week. Father, I pray that your anointing would flow within your people, that you would put such an intensity upon our hearts and minds to know you, that you would wake us up in the middle of the night, Lord God, to pray, to seek your face, Lord, that you'd put a hunger in our hearts for you, Lord, that you would help us to grow in the knowledge of Christ, Lord, that you would ever be before us, Lord God, accomplishing your will upon the earth. Protect each and every family, Lord God, and be with us at work, at home, everywhere we go traveling, that your protection would be around about us physically and spiritually, Lord God. Because we know, Lord, that the enemy is out there prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Father, I pray that your protection would be upon each and every one of these people, Lord God, our church members, that you would protect them, Lord God, that the enemy could not do what he wants to do, Lord God. But Father, your will be done, and you would accomplish your will upon the earth. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.